My name is Jinhua. This is a joint work with my students at Wayne State University, and this also with my collaborator Xianfeng and Hong in Stony Brook. So nowadays, a lot of surface data become more and more popular, and identifying features from this surface data becomes of crucial importance for a lot of the applications, like building correspondence and matching data and facilitate future analysis. For this case, you see a lot of faces and how to do the matching and the retrieval. So this is a very interesting problem. And actually, because this section relate to tensor, so I try to relate my talk to the tensor field. Actually, even though the PET data or DTI data, they are volumetric, actually they can be converted to the surface analysis also. And we see, for example, for the Poisson emission tomographic data over there, and or the diffusion tensor data, you can convert this to the brain surface and to build up the map. By the inter-subject comparison, you can facilitate the clinical diagnosis and the findings. Okay, so the fundamental problem is still how to build up the correspondence and the registration and then facilitate group analysis. Well, there are a lot of work, try to identify features directly from surface, like the salient geometry features by Danny Cohen in 2005, a Seagraph paper, and also by the, this talk paper in 2006, and also by the Vashni and his students doing the mesh saliency, so directly apply the Gaussian kernel over the manifold surface and try to identify the features. So actually, this is more intensively started actually in image processing field by one of the most robust method is like scale space processing. So Lindeberg in 1990 proposed the scale space processing for discrete image, like traditional 2D image, and then build the scale space by Gaussian filtering of the image to build the sequence, and then to extract features. In 2004, this is a good paper in vision field by David Low actually extract the scale invariant features from this diffusion space. Actually, our work more inspired by the work in the image processing and vision field. So the very natural thought is, how can we adapt this method to processing the to process the digital geometry of surface and facilitate the feature extractions? Okay. So very natural thought is, okay, can we convert the shape or surface to the 2D planar domain or canonical domains, and then we can apply this image processing techniques directly on the shape image and to extract features. Okay, so in this paper, basically we focus this transition. So several important issues there. So first, when you convert the 3D surface to the 2D images, so what kind of features, what kind of the geometry characteristics you want to sample in the 2D geometry? Okay, so and because of the sampling is not uniform, how do you deal with it? And also, when you map 3D surface to the canonical domain, there's distortion, okay, unavoidable distortions there. So how to combat these issues? And also other issues like noise and resolution change. So these are all important issues to consider. So we propose our approach in this very rather comprehensive framework. So first we do the geometric mapping. So we use conformal mapping to bring the 3D surface to the canonical domain. And then we build up the shape vector images. So we sample intrinsic properties like Gaussian curvature and the distortion rate from the original surface to form this shape vector image. And then we use geodesic distance weighted diffusion. I will show later why we use geodesic distance weighted diffusion to facilitate this construction. And then it's feature extraction. And here we build our features around the extrema we detected from the diffusion space, and then build the local shape descriptors. And then they are very good for correspondence matching and alignment of 3D surfaces. Okay, so I will go with each component in a little bit of detail. So first, geometric mapping. I assume we all know the conformal mapping here. So basically, it's angular preserving mapping. So when you bring the surface, original surface to the canonical domain, the angles are preserved. Okay, so here you can see the textures. So conformal mapping basically is the mapping of the first fundamental form to the second to the fundamental form of the target. There only exists the linear operator there. It's proportional. So we call this numerator is conformal conformal factor. Okay, so this indicates the area distortion. So based on this, we try to form the shape vector image here. So given a surface, okay, so given this surface, we build the map. Okay, we build the map. So we sample the mean curvature and the conformal factor. Okay, so mean curvature and the conformal factor. They were calculated based on the original surface. And then put them together, we form the shape vector image. So this image is color-coded from these two channels. Okay, so the mean curvature channel and then the conformal factor channel. So we form this shape vector image. So actually, why we use the curvature and the distortion factor? So basically, based on these two parameters, we can uniquely define a shape based on this. So this shows another example on the brain surface. So how we map the brain to the canonical domain, and you see the mean curvature and the conformal factor. So this is another shape vector image example for the brain surface. So one thing I want to mention here is briefly, we use this to compute the mean curvature and then the conformal factor. Okay, so basically this is computed based on the current peaks, current vertices, and its one ring neighborhood. Okay, and its one ring neighborhood. So alpha and the beta are the angles opposite to the edge we consider. Okay, so and this is computed for the mean curvature and also for the conformal factor. Conformal factor is the area distortion from the source to the target. So another important notation here is because we use the geodesic distance weighted image, so the sampling distance between the pixels are not unit length anymore. Okay, so for example here between the green and the red ones are not based on unit length. Okay, it's actually based on the geodesic distance we computed from the surfaces. I will show you later why these are important in the diffusion. And we pre-computed this distance around its four neighborhood of the pixels. Okay, so we, each current pixel, we computed the geodesic distance of its four neighbors and stored in the image. So here I show you why we need the geodesic distance. For example, we consider this curve. Okay, this is surface. Okay, we use one-dimensional illustration here. So this is a curve. Okay, if we do parametric mapping, we get the shape vector image here. Okay, of course, in this case, it's a line, a straight line here. So V1 and here V6 are the vertices of the surface, or in this case, the curve. And also P1, P2, P3, and here P6 are the pixels of the image. Okay, so, and if we do diffusion of the V4 here, or say P4 in the image, if we only consider unit distance, P3, P5, then P3 will boost the value dramatically if we only consider the unit distance in the image. Okay, so we actually need to consider this geodesic distance in the original surface, then V3 will not lift up the value of the V4. Okay, so in this case, we'll not cause the feature extraction later. And also, same situation for V3, V2, for this high curvature vertices, okay, their value will not dramatically lowered, will not be dramatically lowered down by the V4. Okay. So as we see the geodesic distance there, so here I want to show the image diffusion. Basically, here is a vector case. Here, F sub I is original surface. It's original image. Okay, so it's original image. Here, zeta here is gradient, and G here is a diffusivity function. So this diffusion speed is controlled by this diffusivity function, okay, the speed function, and also the gradient of the current image. So here, ik is diffused image along time, and f sub ik is original image. So the speed is only controlled by the original image, okay, and this is the diffusion. If we want to solve it, and we have to consider each channel separately, but of course the speed here is a summation of all the channels, so it's not independent with each other. Okay, so it's dependent on also other channels' properties. So the diffusion is computed by the current pixel value plus the diffusion of the neighborhood. Okay, so here C coefficient is computed from the diffusivity function. Okay, control the speed. So here we use north, south, east, and west, basically four neighborhood to diffuse the pixel values, and then we compute the next time step and the next scale. So what's the value would be. So here we add the geodesic distance weighting function here. So because we know in our shape vector image, the sampling distance between the pixels are not unit length. Okay, actually, it's computed from the geodesic distance from the original surface, as I explained before. So here we have weighted by the actual geodesic distance. So when we take the say for example here, north minus the current one, so north pixel minus the current pixel, and then divide by the actual geodesic distance between the two pixels. Okay, so this tells the new gradient for the current pixel. And here also the C function, as I explained before, this is the speed function controlled by the diffusivity function, okay, G, which is the summation of all the contributions from different channels. And when we put them together, we can come up the geodesic distance diffusion. So the new pictures, okay, new diffused image were based on the old image plus the diffusion weighted by geodesic distance. Okay, so for full detail, you can refer to paper for the equations. And then we can build up this diffusion space, okay, by a lot of different images. So here you can see the diffused animation here. So from the original shape vector image and then diffused along the time. Okay, so align them together, you can get it0 all the way from tn. Okay, so this is basically times of the diffusion. And this is the channels. I assume like we have general m channels. And then I give some little annotation here. So basically, if we have a mapping which brings the original surface to the planar domain, and also the diffusion d from the image to the diffusion space, so composed together, basically it can create the diffusion space appropriate for scale space processing of the 3D surface directly. Okay. So, and the analysis is very similar to analyze the diffusion space directly. So from the geodesic distance diffusion, so we can get a sequence of diffused images. Okay, so how do we facilitate feature extraction from this diffusion space? We take the difference of diffusion, okay, so difference of diffused image, and then we get the diffused difference of diffusion, and then in its 28th neighborhood, we pick up the maximum one. Okay, so if this is a current pixel under consideration, and we compare the 8th neighborhood at its current scale and 9 corresponding neighboring pixels in each of the neighboring scales. Okay, if it's a maximum one or a minimum one among all the compared pixels, we consider this its key point. Okay, and this nice thing about this, because we know which scale this key point is detected, so we can see we can figure out the key point and also the scale associated with the key point. And then when we come up the local shape descriptors, we have like a scale-aware shape descriptor. So we know which region to summarize, which region to sample to come up the local shape descriptors. Okay. Let's say more. So this is the point, and this circle here means the scales detected for the key point. Okay. So this is the coarse scale. You can get and larger scales from the point. Okay. So once key point is detected, and then we just use standard the histogram of oriented gradients to come up the local shape descriptors. Okay. So here we take the current pixels and consider it's a 16 by 16 neighborhood. Okay. And divided by 4 by 4 subregions. So 16 by 16 pixels and a 4 by 4 subregions. So totally we have like 4 by 4 subregions. Okay, so in each histogram we can see the A beams. Okay, we computed the gradient and the orientation of the gradient, and then we can come up the local shape descriptors. In order to make it rotation invariant, so here we use the basically the coordinates based on the gradient of the key point. So you always align the histogram along with the gradient of the key point. So no matter how gradient mean, how the local features mean oriented, and this can be captured in rotation invariant feature. For the matching, we just use a simple nearest neighbor, okay, and very modified nearest neighbor. So basically, we compute for the feature vectors 128 feature elements, And when we want to match one point from a surface to another point of another surface, okay, or the other surface. So basically, we compare the distance between these two features, okay, so 128 dimensions, okay, we compute the shortest distance. And then we find the second shortest distance neighbor, okay? So if this two, basically the if the first shortest distance, okay, basically the nearest neighbor is very distinctive from the second nearest neighbor, then we consider this is a match. Okay, so basically we have threshold here. So this is in order to only match the distinctive features, not the regular features. If it's a one point match to two similar points, then we don't consider this a reliable matching, so we just get rid of these features. Okay, so we did some repeatability test on this. So we add Gaussian noise into the model, and we compare our geodesic distance weighted shape vector image diffusion with a regular anisotropic and isotropic Gaussian diffusion. Okay, so here you can see our method basically outperformed the regular anisotropic and isotropic in terms of noise level. Okay, so here the primary reason is the for the anisotropic or typical isotropic diffusion, from the original fine resolution to the coarse resolution, we dislocate the extremas. Okay, if you don't consider geodesic distance, as I showed in the previously, and if you consider geodesic distance, it's more reliable from moving from the fine level to the coarse level. So I show some examples in face matching. So here, you take the face, and this is extracted key points, okay? Extract key points from the original surface, okay? And this is a green circle shows the scales which they are found, okay? And these key point features are very good for matching purpose, okay? So if we consider the same subject, no matter how his or her expressions vary, and you can still match the key point. Of course, you have to exclude expression variance part. Okay, for like the mouse, if there's motion there, you cannot match it, of course. But and for the typical face, okay, we can roughly like around 100 key points can be identified as feature key points. And among the different expressions, if the same subject among different expressions, we can match around like 50 to 60 key points. And for different subjects, only 5 to 6 can be matched. So it's very sensitive features to facilitate shape matching, shape query, and shape retrieval. Okay, so we show another example here. So for the different expressions, okay, for this feature, for expression invariant features, they can match very accurately. So here we only show 20 feature key points, but roughly from the no matter how expression varies, usually 50 key points can be matched, no matter how it varies. And this is the original surface, and this is the shape vector image. Okay. So, and using a little bit more complicated matching algorithms, you can put this into the partial matching, like if you familiar with like Dirichlet matching or subgraph matching, so you can facilitate partial based on these key points and the local shape descriptors. So you can use this for partial matchings. But this is the model, so you cut it and you can map to the and the scales doesn't matter and the rotation are invariant. Okay, so for the brain surface example, I just go quickly. Try to relate this to the tensor, and we can get very accurate matching between the two brains. Of course, here is a shape vector image of the brain original brain surfaces, and then you can build a salient correspondence. Okay, and then you find the accurate matching by the simplest spline or iterative closest point or shape context method. Okay, so also we did some experiments on the comparison here. So the geodesic distance weighted function and also the regular ones. So you can see the matching rate, we always maintain above 90%, actually around 95. And for the regular anisotropic and isotropic diffusions, they cannot do as good as our method. So we can analyze these volumetric data, like Poisson emission tomography data or the diffusion tensor mean data by plot this information on top of the surface. So you can do this kind of statistical analysis across subjects. So consider here we have two brains, reference brain and individual brain, and we do the matching between two shape vector images. Then we can sample the PET information by reverse gradient method onto the surface. And for diffusion tensor imaging, we basically compute the cortical-cortical tensor connection, or based on RI, user selected inside, then we can compute the cortical fiber distribution map. So basically, this is the cortical fiber distribution map. So you can compare how this diffusion tensor properties varies in the on the cortical surface. So here shows the example actually here. This is a PET sampling, okay, of PET sampling. And by aligning the shape vector image, and then you can do group analysis, find the normal pattern here. So this doesn't work, it's out of battery here. Yeah, okay. So basically, histogram of the normal subjects, and then histogram of abnormals. You can see the once you align them, I mean, correctly and accurately, and then you can do group analysis very easily to find out the abnormality area. Actually, this is the patient data, real patient data for epilepsy, so you can find out the electrical signal error here. And this briefly shows the diffusion tensor distribution, and you can see the distribution map on top of the cortical surface. And when you get to the diffusion map, and you can do the group analysis just like the analyzing the PET data. So here, user basically select any region here, and then figure out the cortical fiber distribution on the cortical surfaces. Here we use a probabilistic checking algorithm to find out all the possibilities and then plot the diffusion data. Okay. So some runtime, totally for like 40 minutes, usually when image size is 256 by 256, and if it's 500 by 500, then it's roughly 172 second. Okay. So actually, just two quick slides for mentioning our current work. So this is our first geodesic scale space for processing the shape. Basically, we convert to the image, and then we do the scale space. So if we using like intrinsic geometric flow, like curvature flow, ridge flow, so we can actually we can basically filter the original image, basically the intrinsic features like Gaussian Gaussian curvature and its embedding simultaneously. So you can create actually diffusion space. So this is probably a more rigorous scale space for the for shapes, and the similar patterns also exist in spectral domain. Okay, so if you take the geometry and you put the heat flow and using the spectral geometry, so you can figure out these patterns as well. So how these three things related? So that's currently we are working on. So in conclusion, basically we try to establish like a geometric scale space paradigm for studying the geometry scalability and the variability in surface processing and various visualization tasks. So in this talk, basically we present geodesic distance weighted shape vector image, so which is useful for multi-scale diffusion and facilitate scale space processing of 3D surface directly. And we propose a method for construct distinctive scale-aware shape features, so put key points, it also detect the scales associated with them. And this method is good, pretty good on matching and to do the statistical analysis or cross-subject, cross-individual visualization of the medical imaging data and other type of data. So finally, I would like to thank our funding agencies, and thank you for your attention.
Assuming people would like their coffee. We have about time for one question. Or am I seeing volunteers for coffee rather than questions? Well, since it is my obligation to make sure that, among other things, at least one question is asked, the question I'm going to ask is, this clearly works fairly effectively for the brain registration. What happens if part of the brain is dead and not showing up on the property that you're using to achieve the registration?
Yeah, actually, this is a good question. So our method is considered as good for the partial matching as well. So if like part of the surface is not available, so like in vision is like called occlusion. Okay, so we don't use the global information to match to 3D surfaces. So for based on these salient key points, if you overlap or remove part of the 3D surface, these geometry features will still appear. So there's no any repeatability for the occluded surface.
Thank you, and thank all the speakers.